Welcome to this Mixed Sunday Morning Podcast. Listen to the full 3-hour morning show Sundays starting at 8 on Mix 106.5.
Good morning. It is Sunday, May 17th, 2026. I'm Shaw Gage on Sunday morning. Hope you're doing well today. How's everybody doing? Man, God is good. God is faithful, and you can trust Him with everything. I promise you that. We're going to talk a little bit about trust this morning. The different types of trust, who do we trust, when do we trust, and why do we trust, and what are the benefits of trusting the Lord with all of it anyway? That's what we're supposed to do. That's what He wants us to do, and y'all, life just seems to be a whole lot easier when I do that. Don't know about you, but anyway, we're going to break that down this morning. PGA Championship Sunday, there's a marker for you. Don't know who's going to win the final round, but it's certainly shaping up to be exciting. But if you're a golfer, you're all in, probably watching that today, keeping up with the PGA Championship, which is, hey, if you're a golfer, you got to have trust in yourself. You got to have trust in your swing and your coaches and all that good stuff. But anyway, talking about trust this morning, Psalms 56:11 says, "In God I trust and I'm not afraid. What can man do to me?" That's an encouragement for you this week. Don't worry about stuff. God's got you right there in Psalm 56:11. Man, I trust in God and I'm not afraid. Are you? Let's talk about this morning on Sunday morning. I'm Shaw Gage. I was reading earlier this week, you know, we lost a legend if you're an Atlanta Braves fan or a baseball fan in general, but former manager Bobby Cox, who took the Atlanta Braves to heights they had never seen before and haven't seen since. Well, actually, I guess they did, but won their first World Series back in the early 90s, and Bobby Cox was the manager, and just, I was a huge fan, loved the Atlanta Braves. You know, we paid so many dues as fans in the 70s and 80s growing up. The Braves were always terrible and always the butt of the jokes when it came to Major League Baseball. But Ted Turner, who actually passed away just a few days before Bobby Cox here in the last couple of weeks, he turned him around. He bought him. He saw something in him, and he said, "I'm going to make them, you know, a team that's worth cheering for." And Ted Turner did that, and Bobby Cox was instrumental in that. John Schuerholz, the whole organization. But we lost a couple of those guys this, in the last week and a week and a half. And just, you know, kind of made me go back and think. You know, as a young man, I remember being a Braves fan, living in Birmingham, Alabama, and all we ever had was Dale Murphy, right? I mean, and Dale was great, but he never had a supporting cast and just never could get over the hump as far as winning championships. But Bobby Cox brought that to the Atlanta Braves, and he brought a winning attitude. And I was reading an article this past week, an interview with John Smoltz in The Athletic, and John Smoltz was talking about how simple of a manager Bobby Cox was. He didn't have a bunch of micromanaged rules. He basically had three rules, and he trusted his guys to do their job. And talking about trust this morning, it just hit me, kind of those go hand in hand, but this was what John Smoltz had to say about Bobby Cox. These were his three simple rules. Number one, wear your hat right. Don't ever cover up the A on the front. You know, be proud of that Atlanta Braves logo. Wear it right. Number two, show up on time. Be on time. That's just respect, right? Just be on time. Number three, no music in the clubhouse, bus or plane. Wear your headphones. Wasn't saying you can't listen to music. Just don't infringe it on everybody else. If you like country or rap or heavy metal, don't force everybody else to listen to it. Just keep it to yourself, right? And that was his rules. And Smoltz went on to say in this interview that, you know, he trusted us as pitchers to do our job. We get your job done, go to the house, go play. You know, he said they got a lot of flack for playing golf, the pitchers for the Atlanta Braves back in the 90s. And they did play a lot of golf and they were really good. But he said Bobby knew that if we came and do our work, or we knew that if we came and did our work, Bobby would let us go for the afternoon. So those pitchers decided early on, hey, we're going to go in at 6 o'clock in the morning, get our workouts done. We're done by 10 or 10:30 as the other players are just getting started. And he said, we're out of here. We're going to play golf. We got our work done. Bobby Cox trusted his players, according to John Smoltz. He said, I trusted them to do their job. And if they didn't do their job, they weren't in part of this organization. And Bobby recruited players like that, or excuse me, he signed players like that, and he built championships around players like that. And when you have the trust of your boss or the trust of your organization to go out and do your job, y'all, that is a great feeling to have, and it just allows you to be that much more successful. But that trust is important. And it's important that we have our, you know, that our bond is our word, or our word is our bond. But it's people got to be able to trust you so that you can be the best version of you. And there was an example. Bobby Cox, longtime manager of the Atlanta Braves, world champion Atlanta Braves, passed away this week. And gonna miss him. Nothing like him. I can still see that grin, you know, on interviews or on the field. And thank you, Bobby Cox, for trusting us as fans and taking our Atlanta Braves to heights we had never seen before. We're gonna miss you, and the world's a little bit dimmer without you in it. But thank you, Bobby Cox, for being you and for trusting your players and giving us that example. The other kind of trust that we have in this life is trusting ourselves, right? I think there's a difference in trusting ourselves, having confidence in ourselves, and trusting ourselves to the point that it's arrogance that we have and it just comes across as showy or flashy or prideful. I think you have to trust yourself, right? You have to be confident. A lot of people lack in that department. I know I do in certain areas and different things in life and when I was younger and whatnot. But once you get a little courage and you get a little salt in life and you realize, you know, hey, we're all trying to figure this thing out. We're all trying to get better. And you just realize, hey, it's about getting better and helping others get better. Man, you learn to trust yourself and you learn to realize, hey, I know more than I thought I did. And as you get a little bit older and a little bit older, you should trust yourself because we've been through a lot and we've seen a lot. But I also know that trusting yourself in that arrogant way can hurt you too. And I've been there. I've shared my story countless times on this program. But, you know, I trusted myself way too many years ago about, man, I'm the best salesman in the world. And my pride got in the way and I was trusting myself and not really trusting what God had planned for me. And, you know, 2009, I lost my job. So, man, that was hard to go through. But God was showing me, hey, you're not everything you think you are, right? I mean, be humble, right? Be humble. So that taught me that. I trusted in myself probably way too much. But then it just allowed me to go, okay, God, what have you got for me? And what am I supposed to be doing here? And during that time, y'all, that selfless nature began to reveal itself to me, and I began to try to become more selfless. And that's still, look, I'm terrible at it, but y'all, I know when I live that selfless life versus the selfish life, man, God blesses it. He uses it in ways that I can never even dream possible. And then fast forward a few years later after that, you know, we've talked about the cancer journey on here too, but man, I didn't have a choice. During that's what's so crazy. During the cancer, I had no choice. I couldn't trust myself. I couldn't give myself chemo. I couldn't give myself radiation. I couldn't do a stem cell transplant. I couldn't do a lot of things. I couldn't heal myself. Only God could do those things through other people and through his own wisdom, infinite wisdom. So trusted myself probably a little bit too much after, you know, before cancer with my health and just, you know, hey, all is good and I got it. I don't need to go to the doctor. But then God said, no, you need me. And here's why. And y'all, I began during all that, you know, job loss, the selfless word came in. During cancer, it really became, man, at first, a victim mentality. And again, I don't judge anybody for doing that, but it became eventually after a few weeks of not why me, but why me? Like, why do I get an opportunity to go and impact people, doctors, nurses, patients, friends, family, students, families of students, athletes, just anybody. And here I am almost 14 years later, still trying to have an impact for the Lord through this opportunity that I had called cancer. And I had to learn how to trust him and I had to give it over and go, God, it's not about me. And it's that same selfless attitude that, you know, look, I don't know how people get through things. If you don't have faith, I don't know how you get through it. I'm not saying I'm perfect, but man, without faith in the Lord, I would not be here today. And that's all to him. That's nothing to do with me. That's all in his grace and his love and his mercy. Make no bones about it. It has nothing to do with Shaw. Just him going, God, here's grace. Receive it. And y'all, I learned during all that to receive that grace. And when you receive that grace and you become selfless, you realize there's a bigger picture out there. There's something bigger than Shaw out there. There's a greater purpose. And to me, y'all, that's the kingdom. That's eternity where we're all going to be dancing and celebrating with Jesus forever. It's not just for a minute, an hour, a day, a week, a year, 10 years. It's forever. And I want everybody that I know and love to be a part of that. You know, I'm not wishing away my life here on this earth, but I also want people to know there's an afterlife. There's an eternity after this, I believe. And if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. And if it's just fade to black, old Tom McCoy in Tennessee used to say, eternity is too long to be wrong. And I agree with that 100%. So if I'm wrong and there's nothing, man, I'm going to have lived a good life. I'm going to have impacted a lot of people. But if I'm right and God is who he says he is and there is a heaven and there is a hell, man, I don't want to be on the wrong side of that coin. And I want my friends and family and loved ones and anybody that can hear my voice to know that Jesus loves you. And that's what it's all about. Y'all, this saw stuff, cars, bank accounts, houses, clothes, everything that we chase, the dollar, the fame, the fortune, whatever. Y'all, it's all temporal. It's all going to be gone eventually. It's all going to burn up. It's all going to be gone. And it can be in a heartbeat. But one thing that's not ever going to be gone is God. He loves you. He loves me. And all he wants is a relationship with you. So when you become selfless, when you start realizing it's not about me and you start trying to look for ways to impact people and impact the world by encouraging other people and working with other people and just loving on people, y'all, man, it makes this place a whole lot better place to be, doesn't it? So check that out. Think about that. Where are you in life? Are you trusting yourself too much? Again, nothing wrong with trusting yourself, you know, for confidence things, but trusting yourself way too much, man, give it to God. Let him use you. Let him use your story and your journey to impact others. That's what I'm doing today, and I hope it has an impact on you. And most importantly, I just want you to stop right now and put a smile on your face and know that Jesus loves you, and he just wants you to be happy. So smile, enjoy that smile, and hold it for as long as you can, and see if you can't pass it on to somebody else. We'll be back here in just a few minutes on Sunday morning. You know, sometimes I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer. My family would probably tell you that's all the time, but I like to think I'm pretty perceptive, but I've missed one here, and I was just thinking about this week as I was prepping for our conversation today, and, you know, just talking about being selfless, about trusting the Lord and being selfless. You know, God burned that into my heart years ago. Back in 2000, I'm going to say seven, he started burning that word selfless into my heart, and for a period of months, they kept burning that word. And then eventually I lost my job and working up in Nashville for a company. And I realized that God had been giving me that word for a reason, that it wasn't about me and that the job loss was not an opportunity for me to become a victim, but it was going to be an opportunity to encourage others and let them know, hey, I've been through that pain. So if you lost your job out there, there's a lot of folks here locally, Domtar, here recently closed the doors, 285 jobs. We've been talking about on that on this show. By the way, if you listened last week, Noah Davis, a good friend of mine at the plant, wants you to know, answered prayer. He did get a job this week, was extended an offer. He's accepted. So I'll keep you updated on that. But he's going to be here locally in Sylacauga, and just super, super thankful to the Lord for that. but if you've been there, if you've been through a job loss, you know that. It's the uncertainty and just not knowing. But I'm just telling you, trust is what we're talking about today. And I'm just going to underline that right now, sitting in front of this microphone. Man, just trust the Lord. But I think in trusting the Lord, it also changes you, and it allows you to become more selfless and realize, hey, God, I'm just going to trust you for the outcomes. I'm not going to say I've got to have $1 million in my bank account anymore. I don't have to live on some fancy island. I don't have to have this huge log cabin out in the middle of the wilderness in Montana. Now, those things would be great, but I don't have to have that. All I need really is to trust in the Lord. And when I realized that a few years back, man, that byproduct of that attitude was to begin to be selfless. And so I want you to know, for the last nearly 20 years, God's been burning that word into my heart, selfless. And he led me to a company that I work for now, Nexair, industrial gas and welding supply. And I'm in this area. I'm a sales guy. That's what I do. I work with customers in the area and love it. I'm with people each and every day. And my approach to my job is I treat it like a field trip. What am I going to learn today and who am I going to meet? And y'all, when you approach life like that, it just makes it more fun, but it also allows you to serve in a selfless attitude. But as I was saying at the beginning of the segment, I'm usually pretty perceptive about things, but this just dawned on me like in the last week or so. But our motto, our thing at Nexair is, hey, serve selflessly, assist eagerly to create customers for life. And y'all, that word, I've been hearing that and I've been saying it. And I saw that word selfless. I was like, duh, like that's the word God built into my heart or started burning into my heart nearly 20 years ago. And here, you know, I guess that would have been about 11 years after that started. I took an opportunity to come to work for Nexair and relocated me back to my hometown of Birmingham and the Birmingham area. But it just dawned on me that our mission statement of the company is literally serve selflessly. So how cool is God just to give me that reassurance and that, hey, you're where you're supposed to be. He brought me through a word. I know he brought me where I'm supposed to be. And y'all, I've been here 9.5 years and it's been a fantastic run. And I'm hoping it goes another 29 years. I'll be that old guy, really old guy. Gosh, I guess at that point. But I just thought that was neat. It was kind of a God wink moment of like, hey, I got you. You know, he used our company motto to reassure me and to let me know that he is still alive and kicking and working through me by serving our customers selflessly and assisting eagerly to create customers for life. And it goes back into what we've talked about time and time again on here, man. People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And all that goes hand in hand. So hopefully that's an encouragement to you this morning. Man, go be a friend to somebody. Go shake a hand, hug a neck, bake a cake, do something to impact somebody, but serve selflessly today and assist eagerly to create friends for life. How about that? Happy Sunday, everybody. We're going to take a break, come back and talk a little bit more about trust and where we should have our trust. Coming back on the other side. So you may be sitting there right now going, Shaw, what am I supposed to trust in? Who am I supposed to trust in? I can't trust in my coaches like Bobby Cox. I can't trust in myself too much. Who am I supposed to trust in? Y'all, trust the Lord with everything that you have. You know, you put your faith and your joy and everything in stuff. It's just, it's not going to matter. I mean, in the end, it's all this stuff is going to be left behind. We can't take it with us when we go. Read this quote by Rudyard Kipling the other day, and it says this: beware of over-concern for money or position or glory. Someday you will meet a man who cares for none of these things. Then you will know how poor you are. Y'all, that stopped me in my tracks. That was a really good one. Just talking about materialism, just talking about, yeah, where do you have your faith in? What do you trust in? Am I trusting in my fancy new sports car or my pickup truck or my brand new house or, you know, my side-by-side or my horse or, you know, what is it? My football team, my basketball team, my kids, my wife, my job. You know, where is your identity? What do you put your trust in? And so at the end of your life, have you ever thought about this? At the end of your life, what are people going to say about you? Man, he was a really good employee. Man, he was a really good baseball coach. Man, he was a really good whatever. Or do you want people to go, hey, man, he was a really good guy and he genuinely cared about people? And people have different motivations for different things. But, man, I want to be one of those people that they say, yeah, man, He God used him. God used him to impact others. And hopefully we're doing that each and every week on here. But, man, it's all God's glory and it's all him. I don't deserve to be sitting here. I was talking with a customer earlier this week, and we were just talking. He's, matter of fact, Grady Cook Jr., he's been on the show before, and I was talking to Grady, and we were just sharing hearts, man, and just going, how's life been treating you? It's been about a year since he was on here, and I've invited him to come back on. So hopefully in the next few weeks, Grady's going to come back on and share with us what God's doing through him and the church. And they were just talking about Grady's a very low-key guy, man. He's like, I don't advertise that I'm a preacher because I don't want people to treat me any differently. He said, I just want to invest in people because they're people and that's what I'm called to do. So we've got all kinds, you know, here I'm a loud mouth. I can be, I know that. I talk a lot, and that's probably why I'm sitting here on the radio each and every week, but that's who God created me to be. And I'm going to encourage, I'm going to give people I'm going to give them thoughts that God lays on my hearts, and I'm going to pray for people, and I'm going to tend to talk more, and some people are not, and that's okay. But I think if you have that heart, and that's what Grady and I were talking about, I said, Grady, check me. If I ever get too big for my britches, check me. Tell me, hey, Shaw, you know, back off a little bit. But I think if we keep that selfless attitude, regardless if we're an encourager or regardless if we're a behind-the-scenes person or if we're introverted or extroverted or whatever, however God created us to be, just do it with a selfless servant heart and let God use you and see what he does. Y'all, I turn around and go, man, I'm in awe. Grady and I were talking about that too, just how in awe we both were separately of our own lives and just what God's done. Because, man, why would God use me? And it's not a pity thing. It's like an overwhelming, like, man, what an honor and a privilege it is for God to be using me in these situations. I don't deserve these blessings from God. But yet, with a selfless attitude and giving him the praise and him the glory and him the honor, man, he's going to continue to use it because his name is going to be continued to be expanded upon and expounded. And man, just letting people know that he loves them. Y'all, he loves you. He wants nothing but the best for you. So don't trust in all this stuff. Don't look at anything else other than the Lord, and he will take care of you. I promise you that. Coming back here in just a few minutes, going to step aside and we'll talk more, wrapping it up about trust in the next hour on Sunday morning. You know, we're kind of talking about trust and selflessness, and I believe they go hand in hand, because in order to be selfless, you've got to trust that God's going to take care of the situation and you're not going to have to worry about your stuff, right? So I think when we get selfish, it's because we're worried we're not going to get our way, we're not going to get our due credit, we're not going to get our proper whatever that is. But when we go, you know what, I'm not worried about my credit, I'm not worried about my pride, I'm not worried about my stuff, I'm just going to trust you, God, that you're going to do it. I think they go hand in hand. And I find it pretty cool. You know, it's the Sunday of the PGA today, the final round, and it's shaping up to be an exciting tournament. We won't know till after the show's broadcast who actually won, so we'll follow that up next week. But I came across this week, just talking about being selfless. John Daly won the 1991 PGA. And if you don't know about golf, or if you do know about golf, it's a really spectacular story. But John Daly was like the second alternate that year, wasn't even supposed to be in the tournament, was sleeping in his car, barely had enough gas money to get to the next event. And he got to the 91 PGA, again, down the list on the alternate list, so probably wasn't going to get to play. Well, his number got called. And John slept in his car the night before the first round of the PGA tournament in 1991. And John Daly exploded onto the scene, and he took the PGA by storm. And he was that first guy that was hitting golf balls, it seemed like a country mile. Big old guy with a mullet and drinking beer and smoking cigarettes, and he was just pounding that golf ball as far as the – I mean, everybody was going, what is this guy? Where did he come from? And John Daly ultimately won the PGA championship that year as his rookie, as a 1991 young man. And that year, tragically, there was a young man named Thomas Weaver who was a fan at a spectator at the golf tournament in 1991 PGA, and he was tragically struck by lightning and killed. And John Daly heard about that, and when he got his check, when he won that golf tournament, he took $30,000 from his prize check, and he donated it to the family of Thomas Weaver. And he had a heart for people. He saw that there was an opportunity to serve selflessly and to assist eagerly, to impact a family that had just had a major loss, a major tragedy, at the same time he was having a major triumph. So John Daly stroked a check for $30,000, gave it to the family, and both of Thomas Weaver's daughters went on to finish college, and one even became a doctor. So, man, John Daly, thank you. I appreciate you, man. That is just, man, what a heart. And just, man, that's what it's all about. What an encouragement. He could have taken that 30 grand and gone and bought another truck or another whatever, motorcycle, or taken a really, really nice trip. But no, he had a heart. He felt that tug. And he said, man, here's, again, a family that's faced this horrible tragedy on the same real estate that I literally have had the biggest triumph of my life professionally as a golfer. And it's not about me, y'all. It's about this family. Here's $30,000. Wow. What a guy, man. If you know John Daly, you follow his story, man, he's kind of ruffian. You know, he's been a hellraiser before, and I think he'll tell you that. But at the end of the day, he's a good dude, because I read stories like that and I go, man, he does care about other people. Again, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. So guess what? Go show somebody you care today. Go just impact somebody. Put a smile on their face, whether it's a silly joke or a hug, or again, baking them a cake or cooking them a meal, or just being a friend, y'all. Go encourage somebody. I don't have $30,000 to go write a check to somebody that's been through something, but you know what? Sometimes just a hug or a handshake or a kind word can mean just as much as $30,000. So thank you, John Daly, for being that role model and doing what God called you to do in that situation. And I pray that we will all be a little more selfless when it comes to that kind of stuff. Happy Sunday, everybody. Man, what a great topic. I feel like we could talk more about trust and selflessness. I mean, I could literally probably talk about it every week. We kind of weave some of that in each and every week, bits and pieces of it. But great conversation this morning. I've got a whole lot more I could talk about, but we'll save it for another show. And hope it meant something to you. I'm just trying to encourage you and just let you know, man, there's times to trust in yourself. There's times to trust in your coaches and your teammates, but there's also times not to. And I can tell you unequivocally, there's nothing wrong with trusting your teammates. There's nothing wrong with trusting yourself on things that you need to trust yourself with, as far as confidence and things like that, or game plans. But when it comes to life and the hard decisions, man, when I trust the Lord, y'all, He works it out. It's not always going to be like I thought, but it's always going to be better than what I could have ever dreamed. So if you're struggling with that, or if you're in a pickle, if you just you're between a rock and a hard place, you don't know where to go, where to turn, just ask God, what are you doing? What are you trying to teach me here? And what can I learn from it? And I'm going to trust you regardless of what that is. I had a great opportunity to share my testimony a few weeks ago. I think I mentioned it last week. Just to share with some guys up in Birmingham at a corporate office, nothing to do with my real my work world, my everyday work world, but it was just some guys trying to get better and doing a Thursday afternoon Bible study at the office, and they asked me to come share my story. And y'all, it was just so cool. It was such a great opportunity because it gave me just that ability to get up and give God the glory and say, look what God did, not what Shaw did, but look what God did. And I was sharing with somebody earlier today, I said, you know, it was cool when that thing was over, I had three or four different men come up to me and go, man, I'm going through a divorce. It's been the hardest thing, but you spoke, God sent you here to speak to me. And I was like, wow, man, that's all him. It's not me, but thank you for sharing that. And then another guy comes up and goes, man, I want you to know, I got a family issue going on. There's a forgiveness thing that I just can't let go. But you know what, man, you came here and God sent you to speak to me today. And I was like, wait a minute, that's two different guys, but cool. Thank you again. It's all God, but like, man, this is cool. Third guy walks up and says, hey, I want you to know there was a guy that was sitting in the room. He had to get up and leave. He wasn't offended or upset, but his family member is going through a pretty heavy cancer journey. It just came back and it's pretty bad, but man, they're just trying to trust the Lord. And he said, I want you to know you spoke directly to that guy today. He heard you. And I said, wow, man, that's cool. And then another guy comes up and he says, hey, multiple myeloma. My son, through his fraternity down at Auburn, has been doing this thing and they've been raising funds and trying to find stem cell donors for patients that were like you. And once I told him my story, he came up and he was telling me this. He said, and my son is actually found out recently he's a match for two different patients out there. So here's this college kid who's trying to be bigger than himself and be selfless, and now he's a match for two stem cell candidates that need stem cells. And I was like blown away by that. And so this man told me, he said, so you were sent here to talk to me. That message, you were supposed to come talk. So there was four different people that going through four different things that God used me with a message that's nearly 14 years old to go and impact some men in downtown Birmingham. Am I perfect? Am I great? No, I'm not saying look at me. I'm saying look at what God did, y'all. I served selflessly, and I assisted eagerly to go and say, yes, God, here's some men that need to hear it. I'll go tell them the story. And man, four men's lives and families' lives were probably changed or encouraged because I said yes to what the Lord was asking me to do. And again, that's not for my glory. It's all for God's glory, right? So praying for all those individuals, the young man, the stem cell match, you know, that's a tough thing because it's a little bit of a process to go through. I told the young man's dad, I said, hey, look, tell him number one, thank you. Thank you for it. You know, before you're 22 years old, you have that heart to go and potentially be a stem cell donor. Man, thank you just for being willing. You know, that is fantastic and so mature beyond your years. But secondly, tell him we need him. Somebody out there needs those stem cells. And if you can hear my voice, I know this is my journey and this is my deal, but multiple myeloma, it's a bad one out there, right? And there's not only for multiple myeloma, but other things. People need blood, they need stem cells, they need plasma. So if you can give, I can't give anymore because of my condition. I can never give blood again, plasma, stem cells, because there's a risk, right, with my cancer. But if you can hear my voice and you're a candidate to be able to give, thank you, number one, just for being willing to think about it. But pray, because you can save lives. I know you can, and I know it can be scary, but man, you're already right there. You're being selfless. Man, God will bless you, I promise you. So thank you for letting me get on that soapbox for just a few minutes. But man, it's just cool. Again, look at what God did. I went to an office thinking, God, I'm just going to go meet one or two people and this will be cool. But man, I've made some new friends, hopefully for life, and guys that I'm going to be praying for and investing in and just going, man, let's see what God does, because we're going to be trusting him with everything that we have. So that's my encouragement this week. Trust the Lord with everything that you have. Psalm 56:11, in God I trust and I am not afraid. What can man do to me? Y'all, he's got you, he loves you, and he wants to give you the best. Talk to him today, trust him today, and know, number one, God loves you, and he's never going to let you go without.